15. This is the intro to chem class. We're dealing with chapter number 4. We're just reviewing the solubility of some common ionic compounds. That's the slide we're on. And we went through and checkmarked what I'm asking you to know. So, if I gave you a compound and you had this memorized, if I said, magnesium hydroxide, like that, could you tell me, is this soluble or insoluble? Magnesium hydroxide. Well, let's quickly go through our rules. This is a rule-based process. So, is magnesium hydroxide have a sodium, potassium, or ammonium in the front of it? No. Is it a nitrate and acetates? Because those are generally soluble. Is it a chloride, bromide, and iodide? No. How about if it's a halide? Now, when it says a halide, what are they talking about a halide? Chlorides, bromides, and iodides. Also fluorides as well. Are common containing lead, silver, mercury are insoluble. Let's see here. Carbonates. Well, what do you know? Carbonates and phosphates are generally insoluble, except, of course, sodium, potassium, ammonium are soluble, right? They were at the top rule. And the last rule, and I stupidly gave you an example of this, hydroxides and sulfides are generally insoluble. Well, so even this is not a rule I asked you to memorize, so I shouldn't be using magnesium hydroxide. I should be using MgCO3, magnesium carbonate. So magnesium, of course, doesn't follow any of the rules right here. Magnesium doesn't. But carbonates and phosphates are generally insoluble. So this would be a big fat S right there. Let's come up with another one. Ammonium. Yeah, it is a solid. That would mean it's insoluble, correct. Yep. There is no little print the thing says that says insoluble. It either says, it'll say S, or sometimes it'll have a downward arrow indicating it's coming out of solution, this kind of a thing. And let's see here. How about this one? Let's see. Beryllium chloride. Beryllium chloride. Do any of the rules speak specifically about beryllium? No. Is there a rule that speaks about chlorides, right? Chlorides, bromides, and iodides are generally soluble. So this would probably be soluble. Typically what you'd find is be aqueous. It'd be ionized, this kind of a thing. So that's how the rules work. And they're very, very simple. But they're very, very handy, and they're very important. The sodium, potassium especially, are electrolytes. And the chlorides are electrolytes in your own body. And as healthcare professionals, you will be needing to know that. Yes?
By soluble, do you mean something that can be dissolved by something else?
Right. In other words, that if you put that compound in water, it will not stay as a solid, but will either dissolve or ionize, which is the same thing as dissolving.
So you mean water-soluble?
Water-soluble. Exactly correct. We're always talking about water. And that's that. You're absolutely right. It does not say this is in water. And I apologize. I should have not assumed that it was going to be in water. All right. Well, let me get out my clicker thingy that I got out and I didn't use. All right. Let's go on, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Now, predicting whether precipitation reaction will occur or not. What you do is you examine the new compounds. Because the old compounds, the reactants, as it were, will be soluble. They have to be if they're going to react. But after the reaction, you then check the rules on table 4.1 to see if the compounds match any of the rules. Any insoluble salt will be the, what's the word right here? Precipitate. That's correct. All right, so let's take a look at this. We have lead nitrate, which is aqueous. That means it's solubilized. Sodium chloride. Why is lead nitrate soluble? Is it because of the lead or because of the nitrate? Because of the nitrate. That's exactly correct. Sodium chloride. Why is sodium chloride soluble or aqueous? For both the sodium and the chloride. Right. But when you exchange components, you get possibly lead chloride or sodium nitrate. Well, and sodium nitrate. Well, what do we know about sodium? Is it soluble? Yes. And nitrate, so it's definitely a doubly soluble compound. But lead chloride, was there a specific exemption for lead chloride? Yeah, well, I don't want to go back there, actually. Because I can go this way easier. You can see right here, and I apologize for being in small print. You can see here chlorides, bromides, and iodides are soluble, except lead, silver, and mercury are insoluble. So that's why we were able to see. What we saw. All right. Well, let's go here, and we'll just run through this quickly again. Boom, 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 boom. All right. So that's what they're going to have us do now. So let's predict from these. We will presume are soluble, and we will write the reactants like they are. So you would write down the following for potassium chloride. What is the formula for potassium chloride? KCl. And do you believe it's aqueous? Is it going to be insoluble? Yes, because of either the potassium, right, which is soluble, or the chloride, which follows those rules. So we have AQ there. Then we have silver nitrate, AgNO3. What do we put here? Is going to put an AQ here. Don't put S. S stands for solid. AQ stands for basically ionized. So is it soluble or ionized or dissolved because of the silver or because of the nitrate? The nitrate. Almost every nitrate. Nitrates are nicely soluble. They really do dissolve well. Now, this is going to be a double combination or double exchange reaction, in which the potassium will combine with the nitrate and the chloride will combine with the silver. So we will get AgCl plus NaNO3. And the question is it still going to be aqueous or is it going to be something else? When we look at sodium nitrate, we immediately realize that both ions are soluble according to the rules. Did I put sodium there? Excellent. See, I'm an alchemist because I can change elements just by writing them down wrong. So I put a potassium here. Thank you for the correction. Well, same rule stands. So what do we put here? AQ. All right. And then what are we going to put here? Well, what rule is it? The chlorides are soluble except for silver. So we're going to put it here. S for solid. It precipitates out. I will let you figure out this one here on your own. They didn't talk much about acetate, did they? But at any rate, you guys can figure it out, although it may be that bottom row of things. All right. Now, we are continuing to talk about reactions and so on. And I want to do something here real quick. I want to see what else we're going to be talking about. All right, okay. All right, boom. Now, reactions so we're now going to be looking at a series of chemical reactions that are very common and have predictable outcomes. A series of reactions that have predictable outcomes and ones that you will need to know. So, one of the most common reactions that exist in our planet, and we use it every day, whether we know it or not, is the combustion of compounds with oxygen. Anytime you produce, especially with a carbon-based reactant, combining it with oxygen, this kind of reaction is going to be called combustion. So a reactant plus oxygen yielding a carbon dioxide and water, that is combustion. If you combine the oxygen with a metal, this would be corrosion or rusting. Rusting specifically with iron, but corrosion with other metals. So if you had magnesium there, aluminum there, it would be called corrosion. But I really want to focus up here on the top. Organic compounds. Now, organic compounds are compounds that are combinations of carbon and hydrogen. Carbon and hydrogen. So this is this CH4 plus O2 yields carbon dioxide and water. Is one of the most important chemical reactions that go on in our everyday modern life. This is the component of natural gas. And if you had a hot shower today at Andrews University, it's because a few minutes earlier, there was some natural gas that was burned to heat water that was sent through a pipe to your dorm so that you could have a hot shower. In that burning, and have you driven by the power plant and seen those nice windows and the big boilers in there? And if you get in there, you can actually see in very intense flames of natural gas being burned. They take exact amounts of carbon of natural gas, very controlled amounts of oxygen in the atmosphere. They simply use atmospheric oxygen. They combine it together, and it always produces carbon dioxide and water. You need to know that a burning of a hydrocarbon under the influence of oxygen always produces carbon dioxide and water. Burning produces carbon dioxide and water. So, I cannot emphasize that enough. You're going to see that over and over and over again. This is a very powerful tool, as it were, understanding of energy relationships in our planet. You could use, however, a more complicated hydrocarbon, something you're familiar with a lot, gasoline. Gasoline is primarily more complex compounds than methane, because gasoline, of course, is a liquid, but it's made up primarily of carbon and hydrogen. When you combine it with oxygen in your automobile, you primarily produce carbon dioxide and water. That's what you produce. What's coming out the tailpipe? Carbon dioxide and water, primarily. Okay? And you can see that, too, on a cold morning. You see somebody driving along, and they take off. And somehow, I don't know, I noticed this, because I'm just weird. Out their tailpipe, water drips out. Where'd that water come from? It came from the combustion of the gasoline. And it was going through the cool tailpipe and exhaust system. It condensed from being a gas into a liquid, and it poured out the back of the tailpipe. If you want to know why a exhaust system in a car rusts, it's because it's constantly exposed to high temperatures and water as part of the combustion process. When you drive off, you're combining gasoline and oxygen in the atmosphere, produces carbon dioxide and water. And most of the tailpipe comes out is carbon dioxide and water. Of these two, carbon dioxide and water, which one is most responsible for global warming? You guys have been trained well. Water is. This is a minor player, if at all. Minor. I don't care what Al Gore says. Turns out Al Gore is probably wrong. Okay, acid-base reactions, another kind of thing. Acid-base reactions focus on the hydrogen ion. And anything that releases a hydrogen ion is going to be called a base. Good night. That's completely wrong. Anything that releases hydrogen ion is going to be called an acid, not a base. Anything that releases hydrogen ion is going to be called an acid. Anything that accepts a hydrogen ion is going to be called a base. If you had high school chemistry, you recognize that. So this is a very common acid-base reaction. This has hydrogen ion. It'll release it. This has got a hydroxide ion. It'll absorb the hydrogen ion to make water. And you make a salt and water. So the hydrogen ion on the HCl was transferred to the oxygen in the OH, giving us H2O. And then, so that's one type of reaction. Another type of reaction is an oxidation reduction. Now, oxidation reduction reactions involve the transfer of electrons. Isn't that kind of like ionic? Well, kind of it is. Except you're actually not producing bonds, you're simply exchanging electrons. You're not producing a bond. So here you have zinc that's got no charge on it. That means if zinc is a solid, it has no charge on it. What does it say about the number of protons and electrons in it? They're the same. That's exactly right. Same number of protons and electrons. The copper being a plus 2, what does that say about the number of protons and electrons? Is it more electrons than protons or more protons than electrons? Protons than electrons, right, by 2. So it's missing 2 electrons. So these electrons can be transferred from the zinc to make the copper equal and the zinc unbalanced. That transfer is called oxidation reduction. The zinc was oxidized and the copper was reduced, but that's probably beyond the extent of our understanding right now. We have other things to go through. Writing chemical reactions, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a look. You could write it out like that. Hydrogen reacts with oxygen to produce water. But there's actually an easier, more understandable, more information conveying method, and that is using the chemical equation shorthand. Hydrogen, which means it's got two, it's a diatomic gas, oxygen's a diatomic gas, and you produce water like that. H2O, H2 plus O2 yields water. Now, so the gases are the diatomic ones. Now, let's see here. What are the diatomic elements? In other words, if the elements come already prepackaged in pairs of two, they're all gases. Is hydrogen a diatomic gas? Say yes, exactly. Is oxygen a diatomic gas? Say yes. Yeah. Is nitrogen a diatomic gas? Say yes. Yes. If fluorine is a gas, is it diatomic? Yes. Chlorine? Yes. If it's a gas, bromine is typically a liquid. It's that. So those are the diatomic elements. As gases, they exist as two atoms connected together. Now, what about the noble gases? Do they ever exist as diatomic materials? No, because they don't even bond to each other. They don't even like each other. So hydrogen is a diatomic gas, oxygen is a diatomic gas. Do not forget what the diatomic gases are. Please don't forget what the diatomic gases are. All right, now, we're now going into some interesting things here. Law of conservation of mass. Now, the problem I had here is this. How many hydrogen atoms do we have on this side? See, this is the yield sign. How many hydrogen atoms are there on the reactant side? 2. How many are on here on the product side? 2. But how many oxygens here are there? 2 on the reactant side, but how many on the product side? 1. Ah, well, that's a problem because it looks like an oxygen simply disappeared. Well, oxygen does not simply disappear. It has to go somewhere. It just doesn't like that. Unlike money in your bank account, which simply disappears apparently, mass does not. And there is a law dealing with it. Not only is it a good idea, it's the law. Okay. There's a picture of Einstein holding an apple or something, and it says, gravity, not only is a good idea, it's the law. obviously, I have to put in a laugh track there. Okay, so, law of conservation of mass. Matter cannot be either gained or lost in a process of a chemical reaction. The total mass of the products must equal the total mass of the... Well, Dr. Novak, are you kidding me? You must be joking. You mean to tell me when I burn a big old bonfire and I have this hundreds of pounds of wood I just burned, you mean to tell me that didn't disappear? Correct. It didn't just disappear. What invisible things were given off to account for the loss of mass as you burn wood? Yes. Oh, not there. It is, and I'm going all the way back, carbon dioxide and water. Are those solids? They're gases. And so as you got all this, you see all this heat rise up. Well, there's all that mass of the wood. Much of the mass of the wood is rising up into the atmosphere with you as you're watching it go up. Doink, and doink, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm trying to get back to the other slides here. And there we go. All right, so this is very, very simple. Visual example, laws of conservation of mass. You got calcium hydroxide, hydrochloric acid, you have calcium chloride in two waters. Notice here, since this is a balanced chemical equation, we have one of these units, two of these units reacting to form one of these units and two of those units. You add up the mass of all the calcium hydroxide and the appropriate number of hydrochloric acids, 147 grams. You add up all the calcium chloride and the two waters, guess what you get? 147 grams. Are they similarly distributed? No. Calcium is now 74 here, but it's 111 after the reaction. And the HCl, is the hydrogen is not even connected with the chloride. The hydrogen is now connected with the oxygen. And it goes from 37 grams to 36. So the proportions may change, but the total does not. What did I just say? The proportions may change, but the... And what law is that? Law of conservation of mass. Okay? It's very similar to laws of the Medes and the Persians, because you cannot change it. Exactly correct. Now, when you go back here, you can realize the following. This says one unit of these plus how many unit of these? Two, will yield one unit of these and how many units of these? Two. So I could say one molecule of this plus two molecules of this yields one molecule of this and two molecules of this, right? Or if I said two of these, I'd have to have how many of the HCl? If I started off, if the ratio was 1 to 2 to 1 to 2, but instead I said, I'm going to start with two of these, I'm going to need how many HCLs then? And I'm going to get how many of these? And I'm going to also get how many of these? Four. There's tremendous predictive power in this chemistry. If I know I start out with an exact amount of this, an exact amount of this, I know exactly how much I'm going to get out. I'm not going to waste anymore. If I need just this certain amount, I can use exactly what I need to make exactly what I want. So there's tremendous predictive power in this chemical equation. It's why chemistry is so powerful and why it's so beloved by everybody. Right? Woo-hoo. That's right. When you're telling your friends and family you're taking chemistry this semester, what is their typical reaction? Oh, you're kidding. You are so lucky, right? That's what you typically hear. Man, I wish I could take it. And who's your teacher? Oh, wow, fantastic. What's his name again? At any rate, so, again, I'm going to have to throw the laugh track in there. You guys are just, it must be Friday. So, a chemical equation shows the molar quantity of reactants produced, a particular molar quantity. What I could say, remember I said one of these, two of those, one of those, two of those. I could also say one dozen of these plus two dozen of these will make, and, or I could say one gross. Two gross makes, right. So, you know, it is all based on numbers, isn't it? Okay. One baker's dozen of this combines with two baker's dozens of this to make one baker's dozen of this. And two. So these are all number-based, aren't they? The proportion is based on the number of atoms. We can see the weight proportion may change, but the numbers don't. So what's an important number for chemists? The mole. How many is in a mole? Exactly. When I say 6.02 times 10 to 23, you say mole. You could also say somebody's proper name. Avogadro's number. If you can't remember that, think avocado. If you don't like that, I can't help you with that. Okay.
When you say mole, you want 6.02 times 10 to 23, but if you say molar mass, you want the periodic, you want the...
Yeah, the molar mass means, exactly right. A mole is both can be considered to be a mass and also a number, but that's why they try to be very specific. Molar mass means the mass contained in one mole of a material. So if I had 39.098 grams of potassium, I'd have how many moles of those atoms? One mole. And so if I had 39.098 grams of potassium, I'd have, sitting there in my hand, reacting with the water in my hand, causing me excruciating pain because this is a very active metal, I would have 6.02 times the 23rd atoms of sodium sitting right in my hand if I had a mass of 39.98 grams. Right? So I'm actually weighing, I count by weighing things. That's an odd way of putting it, but that's what I'm doing. I'm counting by weighing. If I have a certain amount of grams, I know I've got a certain number of atoms. It's really an interesting thing. Okay, molar quantity products, relative number of moles of each product in reactant and chemical, whole number coefficient before the formula of each substance in the chemical equation. So we're going to be learning to balance chemical equations today. It's really kind of fun. Coefficient, how many of that substance are in the reaction? So, is this 2 here a coefficient? Is that 2 right there? Is that a coefficient? Say yes. Yes. Is this 2 here a coefficient? Yes. Is this 1 here a coefficient? It's not shown, but is it there? Yes. Is that sub 2 a coefficient? No. Do you ever change the subscripts in a properly formulated chemical formula? No. Whenever you're balancing an equation, you only change the what? Coefficients, the numbers in front. The equation must be balanced. Why must the equation be balanced? What law would it violate if it wasn't balanced? Laws of conservation of mass. Law of conservation of mass, exactly. All the atoms of every reactant must also appear in the products. How many mercury atoms are on the left? How many on the right? How many oxygen on the left? How many on the right? So are we done? Yes. So this 2 here means there's two mercuries and 2 oxygens. This 2 means there's 2 mercury. This 2 also means there's 2 oxygen. In the properly formulated, because oxygen is a diatomic molecule. All right. Boom, 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 boom. Is the law of conservation of mass obeyed as that formula is written? This is the next examine the equation overhead. Is it there, ladies and gentlemen? Is it being violated? Is it being obeyed? No, it's not being obeyed. Because how many hydrogen do we have on the reactant side? How many do we have on the product side? How many oxygen here on the reactant side? How many on the product side? 1, it's not balanced. This is imbalanced. We have to use coefficients. You may never what?
Change.
This is wrong to put a 2 by there, or H2O2. By the way, what is H2O2? Hydrogen peroxide. Is hydrogen peroxide the same thing as water? No. If you take a big old gulp of hydrogen peroxide, you'd be in the hospital. Woo-hoo! As you destroyed your esophagus. Yes, yes indeed. There wouldn't be any germs in your esophagus, but then there wouldn't be an esophagus. It's kind of an awkward trade-off. All right, so steps to balancing. Count the number of moles of atoms on each of the element on both sides of products and reactants. So, boink, 2 moles H, 2 moles H. 2 moles O, 1 mole O on their product. Oh my goodness. Determine which elements are not balanced. So is oxygen balanced here? No. Step, balance one element at a time by changing the coefficients. So I put a big fat 2 here. Have I balanced the oxygen? Say yes. Yes. But what have I imbalanced now? The hydrogens now. How many hydrogens do I have here now?
4.
Oh, this, I'm getting a headache from this. So, but is the hydrogen balanced, still balanced? No. So we got to go on. And then we go, how do we balance it? We put a 2 in front of the hydrogen. Check. You always double check. Make sure the law of the conservation of mass is obeyed. So we put a 2 in front of the hydrogen. So we now have a ratio of 2:1:2 for the oxidation of hydrogen and water. 4 moles H, 4 moles H, 2 moles O, 2 moles O. And we are done. We're not going to be looking at that. We're going to be doing this next. Okay? You get ready to do this? Can we balance this, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, we can. This one is now says, practice equation balancing. That's the overhead. And so what we do is here, we simply are going to practice. Practice, practice, practice. So we have C2H2 plus O2 yields CO2 plus H2O. By the way, what's the name of this kind of reaction? Combustion. Everybody say it. Combustion. Because we took a carbon-hydrogen compound, we combined it with what? Oxygen, and we ended up with what? And water. What is that again?
Combustion.
Don't forget it. You're going to make, combustion always makes what two products?
Carbon dioxide and water.
Always. And there's a standardized test question you're going to face for the final that's just that. And there are people that miss it. Drives me nuts. Because I can't tell you how many times I hammer at this. Oh, well. I'll keep hammering. I do not get discouraged. Hope springs eternal as a teacher. Yes. Most of the finals I offer are incomprehensible. Is that what you mean? No, it is a comprehensive final, yes. I should say no. Say no to comprehensive finals. Okay. All right, try that. Go ahead, say it.
Comprehensive
finals. Yes. Oh, wrong answer. Ah, bummer. Okay, how many carbons here? 2. How many over here? 1. Okay, we're broken. I can't fix it. I'm going to go home. I'm done. I got to go to the deli. I'm hungry. What am I going to do to make that? So I put a little 2 down here. Is that correct?
No.
How stupid is that? Well, you'd be surprised. At any rate, so I put a, what do I put the 2 here? Right there. Okay. So now do I have the carbon balanced?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm done. I have to do all the other elements. How many hydrogens over here? How many over here? Excellent. How many oxygens here? How many over here? There's 2 here, right? And then this one here, a total of what?
5.
5? How do I get 5 out of this? 5? How do I get 5? I'm going to teach you a little trick that you're going to go initially go, what are you talking about? I'm going to put a 2.5. 2.5 oxygens. How many pairs of legs of pants do you have if you have 2.5 pairs of pants? How many legs do you have? You have 2.5 pairs of pants. So how many oxygens if I have 2.5 oxygens? 5. But Dr. Nova, I've never seen a half. Are you nuts? Yes, I am a little. Thank you very much. What can I multiply everything by to get rid of that half? I multiply everything by 2. I get rid of the half. So if I do everything by 2, so if I put a 2 here and multiply 2.5 by 2, what do I get? 5. And if I put a multiply here by 2, I get a what? And what do I put it here? 2. Does that work? Let's see. So, let's try this again. So I said, we'll put a 2 here, a 5 here, a 4 here, and a 2 here. Does that balance the reaction? Let's see here. How many carbons are there? 2 times 2 is 4. Are there 4 carbons on the product side? Yes. How many hydrogens are there? 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 here is 4. That's balanced. How many oxygens here? 10. How many here? 4 times 2 is 8 plus 2 times 1 is 2. So 8 and 2 is? Have I balanced it? Yes, I have. All right. So we'll balance one more and then we will be done. Let's do the silver nitrate. AgNO3 plus FeCl3 yields FeNO3 3 plus AgCl. Okay, quickly, we can finish this. How many silvers here? 1. How many over here? 1. How many nitrogens here? Oh, now wait a minute. This 3 modifies that oxygen, not the nitrogen. How many nitrogens here? How many over here? Oh, wait a minute. This parentheses means there's 3 times 1 nitrogen and 3 times 3 oxygens. So there's 3 nitrogens here. Oh, my goodness. What am I supposed to put over here then?
3.
Put a 3 right there. Do I have 3 nitrogens now? Yeah. Let's go ahead and check the oxygens. We'll leave the silver to last. So 3 times 3 oxygen is how many oxygen? 9. We come over to the reactants product side. 3 times 3 here is how many oxygen? 9. Very nice. How many iron here? How many iron here? How many chlorine here? How many chlorine over here?
1.
Oh. So I put a 3 right here. Oh. I put a 3 right up here. Okay. All right. So 3, because that's balanced. So now let's check the silver last. 3, how many silver do we have here? 3. How many do you have over here? 3. So it's, what's the ratio? 3 to 1 to 1 to
3.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great Sabbath and a great day.
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erekim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. And by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechem Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechem Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechem Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.